You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today on our show we have Lydia Hudgens. Hi Lydia.
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're super excited to have you.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. I've been such a huge fan of you guys.
Aww. Oh, thank you. So before we get into all the fun stuff, do you mind giving our listeners an introduction on who you are and how you got started in photography?
Well, I'm initially from San Francisco Bay Area. I'm actually was a documentary photographer when I first started out. Wow. And then cool. I made the verge into fine art photography, and now I am a fashion photographer for the most part. So it's kind of a long way. I went from like one direction to the opposite, and I live in New Jersey, or Union City, New Jersey now. Yeah, I mostly shoot a lot of plus size fashion. Is like my really like my category that I kind of like focus on, and yeah, I guess.
So did you go to school for photography?
Yeah, I went to the Academy of Art University in San Francisco, and my background's actually like I was trained on film. Mm-hmm. I like made the move to digital like my last year before I graduated. Oh, wow. And I sold all of my cameras.
No!
I did the same thing. It was such a bummer.
I know. Every single time I hear you guys talking about that on the podcast, I'm like, oh my God, I totally, it's so awful.
We just had no idea. I was like, I'm never going to use this again.
Yeah, my parents, actually, this is like heartbreaking. Every single time I say this, it's like stabs me in the chest. All my negatives from college, I was keeping at my parents' house and they threw them away. All my prints, all my negatives. Yeah.
I have a similar thing. My mom, you know, I'm a 90s kid. So all of our stuff was shot on film, obviously, because that's all there was. But my mom just didn't realize like to keep the negatives, because she made her double prints, put them in the photo album, and then just like throughout the negatives. And I'm like, I kind of knew this answer when I called her recently to, because I'm like, I could make like bigger prints. I can make a bigger picture of my grandmother.
Yeah.
And I was like, did you, I don't remember seeing the negatives. Did you save them?
No.
She was like, no. She's like, I'm sorry. I really just didn't know. I'm like, I'm not mad. It's okay.
I know. Looking back at it now, too, my parents had, my dad was like a fox when he was growing up. And there's all these yeah. photos. Because he shaves his head, too.
Cool.
But he's been shaving his head since I was like a little kid. And he had like this like thick, full, luscious Ooh. Hair. And he was really into vintage cars. So apparently that's just like has continued down yeah. the line. And it's just like a bunch of photos of him with this like Elvis hair. And all of those photos no longer exist because oh, no. they were, you know.
That's a bummer.
Man.
I know.
I'll tell you what, though. One thing about that, I just recently started going through, at, like every time I go home for Christmas and stuff, my mom will give me old pictures, and sometimes I'll have the negative, sometimes I won't. But mm-hmm. I'll tell you, the print quality back then was really, really good. So even getting yeah. good scans of the prints,
yeah,
I've been kind of blown away with that. I mean, they
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
The quality is so much better from back then than, say, your Walgreens, you know, 99 cent for yeah, by, wait, you know, I don't know. That's just one thing I was.
That's because it was like real photo paper.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know? It was yeah. like premium Kodak photo paper. Right. Or Fuji.
Yeah. Yeah, I was taught how to color print too. And like looking back Ooh. At that now, I mean, I know there's places in Brooklyn and New York, I think. Mm-hmm. I haven't really explored that too much because, like I said, I literally just kind of, well, before we get on, but I just kind of reemerged into film in the last like year and a half. And then COVID happened, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Womp.
But I'm like, I know there's all these places, I just haven't explored them. So
are you full time photography? Lydia?
Yeah. I mean, I do a little bit of influencer stuff as mm-hmm. well in terms of my own. I was doing a little bit more before COVID, and then I kind of got sick of it because I'm tired of taking photos of myself. Because yeah. I'm sure like any photographer, we don't really like being photographed.
Right.
So it was definitely like when I started doing more of that, it was like very weird for me to get into it. Mm. And then COVID happened. And all I had was myself to photograph again. So, although I did do a lot of FaceTime sessions.
Really?
Okay. So,
yeah.
How's that been? Because we've had other guests on the show talk about FaceTime shoots, and I'm just like, tell me more.
Initially, I really liked it because it was a way to continue to shooting.
Yeah.
But then I just got the fuck over it. Like, it's just like, well, because the subject isn't a photographer generally.
Right.
And like, so you're directing them. They don't know anything about light. So you're literally like right. handholding right. them yeah. the whole time. And it just took so much work.
Right.
So I'm thankful that I have a backyard here in Jersey. So I've kind of moved on into in-person sessions. And things are better in New York than I feel
right.
like most places.
Right.
So thankfully, I'm able to shoot safely here. But yeah, initially, I was like just doing that and was helping, especially since I wasn't able to get unemployment initially. Love that for us. But yeah, it was just something to do. But then it's not the best quality
yeah.
for that, for sure.
Right.
So
right.
That's cool, though. That caught on like wildfire. It was really like the rage.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was only for that amount of time. I don't think anybody's really...
No, yeah, yeah.
I hope it doesn't continue because it's not great. I've had a few people reach back out to me being like, oh, I really want to do something. I was like, I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
If you want to shoot with me, you can shoot with me in person. I just like, it's so frustrating to like have to deal with reception and like
right.
the quality of the images is usually terrible. I think the best quality of images I actually got is a shoot I did through Zoom, and I shot the model with my actual camera.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked them. It was the only time I'd shot. It's actually with my Canon 1V.
Wow.
I shot it with film, which was like such a weird sort
wow.
of.
Yeah.
It kind of felt a little weird because I was like shooting my computer
right.
with like a film camera, but I love those photos. But for the most part, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely not the same.
No. Not being like in person, being able to direct the
right.
person, kind of figure out what they're doing with their body. And I feel like you, especially I work so like one-on-one with people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just so weird. I feel like there's such a disconnect.
Yeah. Yeah.
How has it been getting back into work? I know you've done a lot of stuff for like some publications and things like that. Are they like, do they have like super strict COVID rules, or are they kind of like, just be safe and give us prints or give us images or whatever.
Yeah, I've done a few. Well, most of the publications that I have worked with recently, I did mostly all old images that I had re-usaged. Like they were asked for usage again, because a lot of the time is like, they're not able to shoot anything, you know? Fashion Week would have happened literally next week.
Wow.
And I usually shoot that for InStyle magazine every season. And they sent me an email like a month and a half ago and said, sorry. I'm like, I'm no shit.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I shot with a brand actually this morning in my backyard, which was cool. I think people are like just wanting to do things safely. So they're open to kind of figuring things out. Right. You know?
That's cool.
It's going to be a while until things go back to normal. Like, I think at the beginning of COVID, we were kind of just like, at least I don't want to speak for everybody, but I was like, man, you know, by fall, things will be, you know, back to normal. Yeah.
How hopeful we were in the beginning of all this.
Oh, I know. I was like, it'll just be like a month or so. Yeah. And then.
Man, it really changed everything. And it kind of hit me recently because, you know, I've been out of work and just kind of living on unemployment. And then that kind of fell through. Like, that's a big question mark right now, because the stimulus
secondary
is gone. Yeah.
The PUA.
Yeah.
It's just such a pain. And like, now people aren't getting their money they're supposed to be getting. And it's just like chaos. It's like, do I risk myself and go back to work? And like, I just don't know what to do. And like just talking about doing shoots with people, there's a podcast that started recently. A couple friends of mine started a podcast and it really took off for them. And they're like reaching out for me to do pictures for them. And I'm just like, damn, I want to, but I just don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't interact with people. I've been kind of a hermit through this whole thing. Right. So I don't.
I will say that initially I was really scared. I'm a paranoid person. And like, same. I'm also an introvert. So like, I feel like it was so funny because I joke about this all the time. I'm like, I was an introvert before all of this.
And
I was already scared of people, and now I'm terrified. So. Yeah, I mean, I think it just took me a little while. But I mean, I don't know where it is, like, in terms of how it is where you are. But I think as long as you do it in an isolated enough area, and just make sure you're wearing a mask and that you're not getting too close to them, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of fear going around with it, which is totally understandable.
Yeah.
But I kind of had to talk myself off of that because I was realizing that I like didn't leave my house like at all.
I've only been
like ordering in and stuff like that. So it's been, I feel a little better now that I'm actually like in like working with people again.
Was there any like photography hustle going on during COVID that you were doing, or just the FaceTime stuff? Or
I started selling prints a little bit, but I shoot, like I said, I shoot mostly models, so I was giving a portion of that revenue to the models. I didn't sell that much. I guess I did. If I look back at it, I did it through Society 6.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they take such a huge portion, which I didn't really realize. So I probably would have made a good amount of money if I wasn't using them.
Right.
But I only think I made like, I don't know. I think I made maybe $1,200 total. And that's
pretty good.
It is, but it's before the models, because I gave the models like 30%. Because a lot of what I shoot is nudes as well. And so I didn't really feel comfortable taking money off of someone's body.
Right.
I ended up donating a lot of it to Black Lives Matter as well. So,
man, that's one thing you don't hear about much, like actually paying the model.
That's great.
I normally models pay me to shoot them, but it's like, if you're working with a model, that was a personal project of mine. I know there's another photographer that I really love her style, but she was shooting a bunch of models and then was like freaking out about making money. So she ended up making a Society 6 and didn't give any of the money to the models. And I just didn't feel comfortable with that, especially since we're all kind of struggling, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. I would have felt weird about it, especially since it's someone's naked body. I don't know. You know,
true.
They got naked for me for free. So why should I be making money off of them, you know?
So Lydia, can I ask you, when was the switch to fashion? You said you were doing documentary stuff in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, I was documentary in college. And then I initially, do you guys know who James Nachoway is?
No, I don't.
So I mean, I'm sure you know the images if you look at his book. But he's a war photographer, and he was like one of, I think his book was called War. No, there was a documentary about him called War Photographer. And I remember seeing that when I was in junior college, and it just like struck me so hard. So I wanted to be a war photographer when I first started. So literally it went like opposite directions here.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I just decided that it was making me too angry.
Yeah.
So I should probably not do that. So I started focusing on fine art photography, and I actually was like known for my nude work in college. And then I decided that fashion was probably a way to make money, which if you're a photographer, you know, sometimes you make money. But yeah, I just kind of decided it was a way to actually like make some income. And also I was enjoying the sort of like storytelling aspect to it.
Yeah.
So I started working a lot with influencers. I was actually, it's like, I'm kind of embarrassed by it now, but I was like one of the first photographers ever to start working with like fashion bloggers.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. So like, I mean, it was so many years ago. I was like, what was that? Like 12 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been doing this a while. But I remember working with them initially because I was like, oh, it's like they're a stylist and they're like a hair and makeup and they're a model and it's all wrapped up to one. And that was how I first started getting into it. But mostly just because like the girls I was working with in San Francisco were like cool and like had really interesting style. And I really liked working with them because they were open to more editorial sort of storytelling. And then people started seeing my images and then asked me how much I like charged.
Oh, that's
and
great.
Then it just went from there. Yeah. It is. I honestly, if I could go back, I wouldn't do it.
Really?
I think it kind of ruined my, there's so many years that I think I lost with blogging, like only shooting bloggers. I feel like I really sort of watered down my style. Mm. And just in the last like year and a half, I think I've really grown as a photographer because I've been pushing myself to do a lot of personal work.
Yeah.
And I didn't do personal work for years.
Wow.
I think the biggest advice I would have to any photographer is to like at least try to shoot like once or twice a month for yourself.
Also like saying yes to every job too, because then you're like, you're doing everything and then you're like, nothing is cohesive. Like I'm shooting, you know, all this other things. Yes, I can. Yeah. Personal work and really zoning in on what your style is.
Cause I was shooting all these girls and I was like, this shit. I mean, it's like, I got to the point where I was like, it's just like a formula to me. It's like, I shoot full body. I shoot quarters. Right. I shoot details. But literally that's just like in my head thinking.
Yep.
And there's no art behind it.
Yeah.
You know, and that was really getting, plus I was shooting digital, so I'd fly through frame after frame after frame, so I'm literally not even thinking about what I'm doing, you know?
Wow.
So, I don't know, I think that was like the biggest, I think if I could go back and like continue to shoot film, I would, but I can't go back, obviously, moving forward.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't really shoot influencers now, it's like all photographer, or all models, for the most part. So
that's cool. What was the first publication you shot for?
I mean, I think, what was the first publication I shot for? I mean, InStyle is the one that I've really like, I've been working with them for 4 years. I do their, is it 4 years? How many seasons has it been? I don't know. I do their, they do a plus size street style gallery every season.
That's great.
And that's my gallery.
Oh,
so
shit,
it's
cool.
Only, yeah, it's yeah, only plus awesome. Size. Yeah, it's cool. My friend Amanda, she started it. I always forget her last name. Amanda Richards. Yeah, she was the editor that started the gallery, and then we just kind of continued with it. And because there's a lot of street style galleries, but for the most part, they tend not to be super diverse. Usually, if you look at them, they're all like a bunch of like white, thin, blonde chicks wearing like denim and a t-shirt.
That's so true.
I feel like that trend is changing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really glad to see it. I feel like a lot of photographers that I know that are really have like are very inclusive with who they shoot, and they work with a lot of body types, and they make sure that they're working with people of color and, you know, black models and like black faces. And it's just like, I feel like I want to see more of that because I'm tired of just being, you know, fed this one vision of what America is or street style is or fashion.
Right.
Because there's more than just one viewpoint, you know?
Man, so true. Do you ever go back to shooting any documentary stuff, like personally? Do you ever get out and just kind of have something in mind that you want to work on?
No, but I mean, when I shoot personal work, it's usually like I was doing the nude series.
With models, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and that felt a little bit more documentary, sort of like fine art. Mm-hmm. Randomly, one of my friends who I went to school with, he hooked me up with a friend of his who gave me a Toya monorail.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about that once I mean, I'm not going to shoot that outside. That's a fucking thing.
Yeah.
So heavy.
Yeah. That's my that was my first 4x5 was a monorail Toya.
Yeah, it's like a giant case and like this she gave me the whole kit.
Wow.
Like everything, the tripod, I was like blown away because I can only imagine how much that was. But I'm excited to shoot that. I just kind of want to like start doing things that I like enjoy shooting. And I do love shooting fashion. I feel like I tend to go a little bit more on like the editorial quiet vibe when I'm shooting. So
yeah.
Okay. So I think it's because I started off shooting bands in the beginning of my career. So I'm like super comfortable with shooting men, but I feel like whenever I shoot like a woman, it's just like, I don't know. I look at your work and I'm like, God, this is so good. Do you have any advice for?
I mean, it's funny because I don't really shoot men. I was still a little awkward.
I just think it's whatever you are like,
yeah,
drawn to or whatever is what. So it's easier.
I mean, I will say, like, I've been shooting women for years. Like, that's mm-hmm. really what I started with, especially with like influencers and bloggers and stuff. But I mean, I think the biggest thing is just like to experiment, really to try to make them feel comfortable. I always try to talk to my models, which I think is pretty normal, even if you're doing portraits.
Right.
And just kind of, I personally don't like poses. I personally like a lot of movement. I feel like it tends to photograph a little better.
Yeah.
I don't love posing stuff because I don't know. It doesn't ever look that great. It always looks a little stiff. I mean, usually, unless the model is like great, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But just for like the normal person, I think just like trying to make it a little bit more casual tends to work a little better. So
I like that.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, men, I have no idea. I'm like, I always just make them do what they like, just move around.
That's hysterical.
I just wish I was looking at stuff that I was shooting. Like yesterday, I posted some of my old zine photos, my first zine that I did. I used to take mm-hmm. street portraits all the time. Like it was just my thing. And now looking at what I've produced in the last couple of years, I'm like, I totally lost touch of, I would be so terrified to go up to somebody now and be like, hey, let me snag your photo. Or, can, you know, I just lost that. And even thinking about, like I was talking about those girls, my friends that started that podcast, like thinking about doing a photo shoot with them, like I am so out of touch with that because I just completely stopped doing it. But every time I do it, I love it so much. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I really want to do this. And then I just chicken shit out of it. Yeah. And you know,
I think you have to get over the hump though. Cause like when I the first time I shot with someone during COVID, I was terrified. Yeah. I was nervous. Oh, I was like, I don't want, I was like shooting with like my 70 to 200. I was like, I don't want to get near you. I'm like, now I just put up like some, like 2 weeks ago, I shot with like a fisheye lens. So like, obviously I got over it.
Yeah.
I think it's just, you just kind of have to jump in and like, I mean, maybe you should try to like, if they're friends of yours, I would say go for it. Because at least you'll have that comfortability with them and you can like get a cup of coffee or something before, you know, and just try to like, can sit far apart mm-hmm. and just see how you feel, you know?
Yeah.
Just got to do it.
I know.
It scares me all the time too, because it's like, I would really love to get into doing portraits or, you know, just paid work in general, just even if it's shooting like interiors or exteriors or whatever. But I just always get so hesitant because photography has never been my job. You know what I mean? Like I've never had to rely on photography to pay my bills. And like, I feel like I know how I am at work. I know work Tim, and he is a miserable son of a bitch. And like, I would really not like to bring that guy into something that I love so much, but I just love this so much. I would love to be doing more with it. You know what I mean? It's just such a battle all the time.
I mean, I get it. I think I was starting to hate it when I was shooting was fashion bloggers. Cause I was like, I don't like what I'm shooting.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I was shooting people like, I mean, obviously my style is kind of like, edgy and I'm covered in tattoos and shit. But like all my clients were like preppy and like super girly. And yeah. I'm like, I don't love shooting this. And so it's really hard for me to like enjoy it. And actually like, I mean, to each their own, if that's your style, that's your style. But like, for me, it's like, I have to want to shoot it.
Right. Yeah.
And it was just kind of, it gets on you a little bit and you start feeling like you're just, it's another thing you have to do, you yeah. know? And so, I mean, now, I mean, I'm not making as much money as I was when I was doing that, but I do think that my work is a lot better. And I think that speaks for itself. So I don't know. And things are starting to pick up again. I've had a lot of more interest recently, so I'm hoping things will progress, but obviously it's COVID. So it's like yeah. sort of such a weird place right now, but
hopefully not much longer. That's all I could say.
Yeah. I mean, New York, thankfully, I think things are like, I think they just opened gyms here.
Oh, wow.
Last week. I'm still not doing yeah, that. Yeah. But I feel like things are moving quicker in New York just because we've been so careful, which is funny because we were hit so hard initially.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Lydia, can you tell us about your transition back into film and what that was like?
So my friend Emma Trim, which she's amazing. You guys should look her up. She shoots mostly with Mamiyas. I actually just loaned her I had the Canon EOS A2.
Ooh.
So I loaned her that because I was like, you should have a 35 and try this one out yeah. and see what you think of it. But she shoots a lot of film and I've just been like in awe of her work. I think she's great. And she's been doing a lot of film work for brands. Like, so she was kind of the one that inspired me because I was like, wait, you can get paid and shoot film
yeah,
still?
Right? Yeah. The dream.
I mean, she does what she does is she shoots digital and she shoots film. So, which I've actually started doing. That's what I did today. I was like, I'm just going to shoot film. I'm going to bite the bullet and take the cost.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I shot like 3 rolls, but it's like at the end of the day, when they see the film images, they tend to want the film yeah. over the digital
right.
always. So I saw her doing it and I was like, man, maybe I should try this again and get back into film. So I started shooting with my, that Canon body and I shot, I think it was like, maybe it was a year and a half ago. I shot Fashion Week entirely. Well, not entirely, but I shot it for myself with film and then just loved all of the images.
Yep. Awesome.
And that was what kind of like re-inspired me and got me back into it. And then it's just been nonstop since. I've been shooting like, I have the amount of cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like slowly growing. I kind of went a little crazy recently because I just decided I was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it and like really just kind of experiment with it. And I love YouTube also. I feel like that's really gotten
definitely.
Me.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I want to ask you, how long have you been doing YouTube?
I've been doing YouTube, I want to say 2 or maybe 3 years. I mean, I was doing it just not photography based at
right,
all. It
right.
was all just like influencer stuff. Mm-hmm. My most popular videos were always like lingerie and anything with a shaved head. But I just kind of got sick of the content. I don't like doing it that much. And it's like not that interesting to me. And this stuff that I like consuming is all photography based,
yeah.
you know? So yeah, that's why I decided to, I mean, I'm still doing some fashion stuff. I've been starting to dip more into sustainability because I'm just tired of all this fast fashion bullshit that's happening
yeah.
right now,
yeah.
especially after Black Lives Matter. There's a few brands that I kind of cut from my Rolodex of people I'll even work with.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I'm sure that's not normal. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of brands that kind of were like, Reformation is one of them. Huh. There's just so many brands that were like outed.
Wow.
So,
hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I was like, you know what? Maybe I should switch gears a little bit and
yeah.
try to like do something that'll possibly bring in another stream of income that I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to start up on the YouTube. And I also don't really think there's that many women.
No, I was just going to say that. I'm glad that you're, you know, a woman
yeah.
doing this because damn,
yeah.
it is so oversaturated with the dudes.
Which I love the content. Like, I mean, there's so many people that I've found. God, what is his name? Grainy Days?
Jason.
His content's fucking hilarious. Yeah. I wish I was funny because I wish I could do that. I'm sarcastic, but there's no way. His stuff is like...
He's like another level. It's like a different...
Like
different...
his interview with you, I was rolling. It was so funny. He's such a dick. It's great.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, but I feel like that's so interesting, you know? So it's like, I definitely want to... Like the videographer I work with, I've worked with him a lot on some previous stuff. So just going to continue with it. I'm like still kind of new and trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I get shooting and then I get distracted and I'm like, oh, wait, I haven't even talked to the camera.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been really trying to focus on stepping my game up in the YouTube realm.
Yeah.
Because there's so few of us women, you know? And I think I needed to hire a videographer.
That really does help. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, because especially when you're shooting, it's like, I'm not paying attention. I just put up a video yesterday. I went to Sandy Hook.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, those, like the photos came out beautiful, but I didn't really pay much attention to the video. And I mean, he got enough out of it. He edited it together for me because I don't know how to do video. Yeah. And I've tried, but I just... I'm like, there's a skill. That's why it's a skill set.
Exactly.
I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But I just like, there's so many things that I wish I had gotten. I didn't get enough B-roll. And I just feel like having someone there kind of make sure that you have all of those things.
Yeah. Because really, like especially when you're filming a shoot, it's like you're trying to focus on the shoot. And then you're also like, did I get enough B-roll for the video? It's like too much.
And I was scrambling for time because I got to the location at 6 a.m. So we're just chasing light at that point. And you're tired because it's 6 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
But yeah, I would recommend a videographer if you can, or someone to edit sometimes. Yeah. It's just helpful like to take it off, you know?
Yeah, that's my next step because I really want to get back into making videos again because I'm a big fan of the editing process. Like I am into editing and stuff. Like I feel like you can really bring out the story in the edit. But I was just working on a video for Lomography's new 4x5 instant back. And I'm just like trying to shoot 4x5, which is already 30 minutes a shot and then having to film it too. And I'm like looking at my angles because, you know, I'm working on the shot. I'm setting my camera and tripod back here. It's crooked and it looks like crap. Half my head's chopped off. You know what I mean? I'm just like, man, if I would have just had somebody, because you know, I want those like close-up shots when I'm doing, you know, I need to find somebody to.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I was like, if I'm gonna do it, I want to do it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Thankfully, Chris is great. I've been working with him for a while, so it was like nice to have someone that I feel. Also, he's starting to get back into film too.
Ooh,
he
cool.
said like as soon as he filmed the first video for me, he was like, "Well, damn it, now I'm into film." And I was like, "Awesome, it's working." So, I mean, it's been nice because I feel like it's a collaborative effort, which I think is good to have someone that has like a really strong vision of what they're doing.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Definitely.
Yeah, I just couldn't do it myself, though. Right. I tried and I would just get so bored of like just setting up a tripod. I'm not Casey Neistat. So.
So true.
So I wanted to ask you because I'm curious when we talk to photographers who get, you know, work with magazines, are they receptive of you shooting film? Do they expect a fast turnaround? Do you like, it's going to take a couple days to get the images? And they're like, wait, what do you mean?
I haven't shot film for a magazine. I shot film and then a magazine usage those images recently during COVID. But no, for Fashion Week, they usually want it like the day of.
Or the night, right, yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I'm sad I'm not getting paid, but I also don't miss Fashion Week.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's crazy. Actually, I met Dan Bazzini. What's his last name?
Yeah, Dan Bazzini.
Yeah.
Following him after your podcast, and we actually met up during Fashion Week. I was like, how have I not seen you?
Yeah.
I'm like here all the time.
He's the best.
And then I saw him everywhere after that. But I'm just like so sick of Fashion Week. It's like very... Especially in the summer, it's too hot. In the winter, it's too cold. But yeah, I feel like I probably would try to shoot film if I was given a little bit more allowance in terms of like how fast the turnaround has to be. I mean, Color House, who I use to develop and scan, I feel like they're pretty quick lately. It's been like 2 or 3 days.
Nice.
But even that, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Do you ever think about getting into like home development or anything like that? Is that
I actually was watching one of your videos randomly yesterday, and you were talking about developing, and I was like, man, I keep seeing all these development videos, and I've never developed color. I mean, I developed my own black and white in school, but I don't know. I'm like, is it really like that different? Or
no, not. I mean, the only thing that's different with color is just the temperature you have to keep the developer. It's, you just have to keep it up at 102. And I mean, you can get like a sous vide or even Cinestill cells if you have the extra money to buy there. I forget what the proper name of it is, but I mean, and all I do is literally boil some water, set my thing in it until it hits 105.
Interesting.
And then just, that's what I do. Don't listen to me. My color is all shifted all over the place, but it is not that hard. It's really not hard.
Yeah.
And there's just something like so fulfilling about pulling it out of the tank and being like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do miss that. I was like, cause I used to shoot like a lot of 4x5 and like, I took a bunch of alternative processing classes in college too, which like, you know, no one does that shit anymore either. I mean, I guess they do. There's a few people I've seen that do some of it still, but yeah, I do miss that like sort of tangible aspect of it.
Yeah.
I'm just so afraid I would ruin everything, but I guess I could just run some bummer rolls through there. And
well, too, I mean, if it's something super important, you know, yeah, I would hit your lab up. But if you're just doing some personal stuff, you know, just try it out. Try it out. And I mean, I think you can pretty much get into it for like $150. You'll have like everything you'll need. And then you'll find yourself, just like everything else, collecting it like baseball cards too. You know, it's like, ooh, there's a squeegee I like. Oh, cool.
I know.
And then you'll have 17 friends be like, oh, you're into developing? Here's all this stuff that I don't use anymore. And you're like, oh my God, now I have.
I know. I'll turn around and someone will offer me like a whole like dark room setup.
Yeah.
I have nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
I might look into it. I feel like I was thinking about it because it does get expensive and I'm really trying to like, my goal would be by like next year to be like pretty much exclusively film.
Yes.
We'll see. I mean, so far it's pretty much every time I do a shoot, I'm always like, so you want to shoot film? And then usually they say yes, because my Instagram predominantly now is mostly film. And that's including the shots of me too.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like once it's like become your brand or whatever, like your aesthetic, it's like, if they want you, then you have to be like, well, this is how if you want that look, this is how I get it.
Totally.
You know?
And there's not, you can't replicate it.
No.
Like, I mean, that was part of the reason I think I finally made this switch, because I was noticing my editing style was trying to duplicate the feeling of film, but you could never get it. And then the first time I shot Portra again, I was like, oh, okay. I've just been trying to do this forever,
exactly.
You know? Although I did recently shoot Cinestill, and I'm sort of obsessed with their 50D. So.
Yeah.
One of my favorite shots on the Sandy Hook shoot was from the Cinestill. So I think my next video is going to be on Cinestill. So
they're a great.
I'm like really into
guys.
That film.
Yeah.
It's expensive, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's all like that now. I mean, even Kodak hiked their prices up, and I get it. You know, and I'm if it helps them be around another decade or two, like I'm down to spend the money, you know.
Yeah,
I know. I kind of felt foolish because when I actually bought a Mamiya RZ67 when I first started getting back into it. I ended up selling it because I have back problems, and that thing's fucking
it's
really
a beast.
Heavy.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't deal with it anymore. Yeah. So I bought it, and I just bought a Polaroid back with it because I was like, oh, I need one of these. And then I looked online and I was like, I literally had been out of the loop so long.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Polaroid was no longer being made in the same way. Cause I remember just like burning through Polaroids when I was in school, and it's
that's
crazy.
Such a bummer. That one hurts
it
the
is.
Most.
Yeah.
I know. Actually, my friend sent me, I have like two large packs of 4x5 Polaroids in my fridge. And then she gave me some 4x5 Portra that's in the fridge too. It's expired, but you know. But yeah, how expensive is 4x5 Polaroids now?
Like $300.
Oh my God.
For 20
gold.
Yeah.
And then you spend the $300 and it comes and all the pods are dried up on it. And you're just like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like, I know it's probably not going to actually be very good, so I'm trying not to like expect so much of it, but it'd be cool if it was.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, some of them, like, really, I got a bunch of Polaroid 669 film, that like pinkishy color peel apart film. It's for the Land cameras, but it all worked. I was blown away. Wow. I was just like, wow, okay, so this is actually going to work. It's a gamble, but when it does, like, say it does work. I mean, say half the pack works too. Like, don't shoot like two of them and then they don't work and think that the rest
and
of them
toss
them. Yeah, because they might still work.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna like that. Like I said, I had back problems, so that camera is probably gonna be a studio only sort of setup for me. When I was younger, I probably could have handled it, but not anymore. So
that should be a video for sure if you're gonna take out that film.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. I told my videographer Chris. I was like, "That's definitely it. It's gonna happen. I just have to figure out the model and like the concept of what I want to do for that." But yeah, it's a beautiful camera. I was like blown away.
Wow,
it's just so random. Like friend of a friend, they just were like, "I wanted to go to a good home. Yeah. Someone will actually use it." I'm like, "Okay, I mean, I will. At some point." So
I was just gonna say, how are you liking that Contax T2.
I really like it. So I had the Yashica, which I know is your baby.
It just broke. It just broke yesterday.
Oh my God. Really? I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's been doing this thing for like years where it'll rewind mid roll. And I've had it like serviced and then it works again. And then one guy was like, just make sure it has a fresh battery. So I put a fresh battery. I got to like frame 33 and it rewound. And I was like, okay, maybe that was a weird roll of film or something. I don't know. So I put another roll in there. And I got to like frame 14 yesterday and just like in the middle.
Yeah.
Wow, no.
Yeah, I really liked, I actually ended up buying it after I saw Dan's podcast with you and then started watching his stuff. And I was like, I really love his work with it. I just want more control. Like being able to pick the aperture and like all of that. So I got the Contax T2 and then I got the Mini Lux. So I'm going to kind of like do a video comparing the two, and I'll probably, whatever one I don't like as much, I'm going to get rid of.
Yeah.
I tell myself that anyway. I really like it though. Like I really liked the images. I mean, I'm still kind of, I didn't realize the frame lines were where they were, which sounds so stupid. I was cutting off so much of the image that I didn't realize, but I like, the images are super sharp.
It's like stupid sharp.
Yeah. That lens. Like,
I mean, it's, I only rented it. I rented it from Film Objective. And, you know, I was like, well, it's just like, I was worried about, I was like trying to psych myself out of wanting it, you know? I was like, well, it's like heavy and it's like, I don't want to worry about it if I ding it up or anything. And then I like got the film back and was like, oh God.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. I shot with it during my first video, which was the fisheye, and I was blown away by how sharp the image is, the depth of field.
Yeah.
I was like, no, this is a great camera. Yeah. I need to do another video exclusively on the Mini Lux so I can just decide which one. But I really like the Contax. I think I'm leaning towards it.
How much did the Mini Lux go for? What are they going for?
I mean, I don't want to... I definitely overpriced. I paid too much. I'm really paranoid about things breaking.
Yeah.
So I like the Contax T2 came in like the box.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I got almost brand new because I was just like, I don't want it to break. I don't want to have to deal with that heartbreak if it breaks and then I can't fix it.
I had that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I just got the Fuji 645, the ZI.
Oh, yeah.
I'm obsessed with that camera so far. That was with the majority of the shots from Sandy Hook that I loved were on that camera. Yeah. And I just picked up the quick camera. I'm going to just bring you in.
Yeah.
It's a vlog now, guys. The Fuji 6x9.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't shot with it at all yet, so.
You're going to love that. You're going to love that camera.
Yeah, there's a photographer that my friend Crystal shot with who used that camera, and I haven't really played around with a rangefinder before, so I was not sure how I'd feel about it, but like I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah. It's like almost gives you the 35 millimeter aspect ratio, for medium format.
Bigger.
Yeah. It's I just recently sold mine. I had one for a couple years and loved it, but it's just another shelf queen that's been sitting there for so long, like not getting used. And I was like, somebody needs to be enjoying this. So.
Right. I mean, 8 frames a roll is kind of a dagger of the heart.
It is. So. It is. But it's actually really fun though, too. Like, only having 8, like you really kind of think it out, and the lens on it is really good. You're going to be impressed with the shots too.
I definitely want to shoot with that. There's another couple other concepts. I keep going back. I have like a running tally of things I want to shoot. So
that's
awesome.
I'm definitely going to like put it to use. But and then I guess those are all my like new babies that I got. Other than that lens. So I'm like I spent way too much. I ended up taking a lot of my unemployment and just being like, all right, we'll just go over there.
Yeah.
And because at least I know it'll make me some money back in the long run. Yeah. So
that's true. It's true.
I'm with you on that one.
We'll be right back with some listener questions for Lydia right after this message from our sponsor.
Support for Analog Talk comes from Polaroid. Use the promo code ANALOGTALK10 on your first purchase on film at Polaroid.com.
All right, guys, this is the part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from It's Only Rory. And they wanted to know favorite discontinued film stocks.
So in terms of discontinued film stocks, I feel like what I would probably say, just because I grew up in college, I learned how to color print, but there was all the different, color grading for the films back then. So I feel like in terms of that, just having like the possibility of doing that, I think, would be nice. But in terms of like the actual discontinued films, that like expired films that I shoot with, I honestly don't even have a preference. Like, I was going to K&M, I think is the name of the store, in Soho, and they just have a huge selection.
Oh, wow.
And so I just pick up a couple, and some of them turn out okay and some of them turn out trashy. So it just kind of like, you know, the luck. But I actually just shot a shoot like a couple of weeks ago, and I did it in bright, bright light with my contacts, and they came out great. Think it just kind of like, you kind of just have to play around with it. So I don't know. That doesn't really answer the question. Otherwise, I have no idea. I just play around with them.
I think that's a great answer though, because that's what I do. You know, I don't really have, especially with color film.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, lately it's been the Metropolis. Like, I've really been on a Lomography kick lately, but
I've been interested in trying their films.
They're so good.
Yeah, they're definitely like specific, you know, like if you want to shoot Metropolis, like I found my best results are like at blue hour or at night, because it's definitely got like a greenish, it's heavier on the cooler end of things.
And yeah.
Yeah, I do wish Kodak would bring back the different kinds of Portra. Like, I have a couple of the NCs and VCs saved up in my film stash, and I really like those films. I mean, they're definitely cool. I don't know. I just wish they'd...
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't even know what I used to shoot with when I was in college, like in terms of like the film stocks that I really liked. I got into color like about around the later part when I was shooting with my, what, I had a Hasselblad that I shot. And I sold it.
No.
Oh, good. I know. Looking back, I'm like, I had like a Lam camera, a Hasselblad, so many cameras that I wish I kept. But yeah, I feel like I was mostly black and white for a long time. And then I've moved into color, and then they closed the lab right after I left. So
that's how that goes. Do you shoot much black and white anymore? Or?
I do a little bit. I actually shot a roll of burger when I was on the beach, but I should have rated it at like 100 or 200, because I rated it at 400. It was way too dark, at least for my taste. The model didn't mind it, but I'm just like, there's no detail in the blacks, and that bothers me so much. But I do like black and white when I shoot it, but I think for fashion it's just hard to do black and white, because most of the time it's about the clothing, you know.
It is so
it's like I want to make sure I'm getting like the color of everything. And I mean, she was wearing a white dress, so it didn't really matter too much.
That's not bad then. Yeah.
I want to start playing around with it more. I have a lot of black and white film that I purchased, so I'll probably try to dig in a little bit.
Cool. I'm obviously pretty hardcore into black and white.
I know. Yeah. Even with your Zoom meeting and even black and white.
All right. So this is the tough one, the one that everybody hates us for asking. The desert island, you can only choose one camera. And why? What and why?
I would want to say that I feel like right now, for me, it would probably be the Mamiya 7.
Ooh. Ooh, damn. That's such a cool camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that, like, for me, just because I've mentioned multiple times I have back problems, so, like, I loved the RZ. I think it's a great camera. It's just too heavy for me. And I do like that ratio a lot. I mean, my only thing is, I know you can't get super close up portraits with it, but I feel like I have enough cameras. I'll, you know, do that for the other ones. Yeah. But yeah, I think the Mamiya, I think that'd probably be, although I'm really liking Fuji, so I don't know, maybe I just need to research more, spend more time on the internet and just see what else is out there. But from what I've seen of the 7, I really like it, so.
All right, so this is the second half of the camera question, and it is the white whale. Is there a camera out there that you've had your eye on for a certain amount of time and just never had a chance to shoot it?
Did I confuse the two questions? What was the last question?
What's your favorite?
The desert island, like your ride or die camera that you couldn't live without.
Oh, I mean, I guess I kind of would be, I obviously haven't shot with that camera, so I guess I did kind of confuse the two questions, to be honest. The white whale camera, I think that would probably be, I don't know, part of me, just because I did shoot, I learned on Hasselblad, I know that they made a gold version.
Ooh, yeah.
The fancy one.
I know people have mentioned that so many times. I'm like, I feel like that would probably be it, because that was like what I was taught on. Mm. I love square format. I mean, I love the 6x7, and I think that like there's so many different formats, but there's something about square that just kind of like pushes you into a box, literally, and you kind of just have to play with it. Yeah. So
I've really grown to appreciate like 6x6. I think it's such a cool classic format.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to really not like it because it reminded me of Instagram, you know?
Oh,
I mean,
but now I like,
I guess if you like went from like Instagram to Hasselblad.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you went from Hasselblad to Instagram, I remember when I like got on Instagram, or even when I was moving into digital, I would crop everything to square.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I saw that way still.
Yeah.
And then when they moved into like doing the wider frame, I was like, oh, there's all this more room.
Right.
But then it's still like a weird crop.
It is a weird crop. Yeah.
When you look at it as like whole of your aesthetic of your Instagram, you know, like it's, you have to like make sure it's like still in that square, so it like still looks good. When
yeah. I mean, I feel like I always, now I'm just doing like the white borders because I'm like, if I shot it this way, this is the way I wanted it to look in my head.
Yeah.
So I, for a while I would always just like, oh, I know I have to crop in, but I don't like doing that. I like filling the frame when I'm shooting, you know?
Man. Yeah. I think it's like Insta size or something is what I use to.
Yeah.
Just, like,
I use that too. Yeah.
Cool. Good, well, great
good
answer.
Yeah, I like that.
Awesome.
Lydia, this has been a pleasure. This is really cool. I really admire your work. I think you're really doing some awesome stuff. So thank you for coming on and chatting with us about it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I honestly, when you guys reached out to me, I was so excited because I like listen to you guys like every week.
Yeah,
so.
Timothy brought you up. I was like, she's perfect.
That makes me so happy. Thank you.
So where can everybody check you out? Where do you have a website, a blog?
Yeah, my I actually have a blog attached to my website, but I haven't really used it. I probably should do something with it. It's just lydiahudgens.com, and then my Instagram's at lydiahudgens. And I think my YouTube's actually under Cramp That Bites and not Lydia Hudgens. So but it's a weird name. I know. I started it ages ago, and now it's too late to change it, I feel like.
Man, cool.
Timothy, where are you?
Guys, head over to Instagram. It's at Timothy Makeups. I also make film photography related YouTube videos. Easiest way to find it, search bar Timothy Makeups. You'll find a bunch of stuff there. Chris, where are you?
So I am Chris B Photo on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Also make film photography related stuff there. We are Analog Talk Pod on Twitter, which we're trying to be more active there. Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram and a Facebook page. We also have a Facebook group, and I just want to say thank you real quick. We've gotten a lot of requests there recently, a lot of interaction, a lot of people talking and sharing their work, and it just makes us so happy. So thank you for hanging out in there. And that's it.
The only reason to be on Facebook.
Literally, so. Yeah. Well, cool. Lydia, thanks again. This has been our pleasure. We really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. We'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
First off, Chris and I would like to thank Lydia for coming on the show. It was great getting to meet you and to talk about all the awesome things you're doing and just nerding out about photography and film and cameras and photo shoots and YouTube and all that fun stuff. We had such a great time. Thanks for carving out some time for us, Lydia. We really appreciate it. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. We released the show 2 days early over there, and for just a buck or two, you can have access to the show early. We also have Patreon only exclusive after shows, and we're going to be doing a whole bunch of stuff over there. Chris and I've got some stuff figured out for the Zoom, and we're going to be inviting you Patreons into a little group hang here shortly, and you know, we have a bunch of stuff planned out, and we can't wait to unravel that for all you guys. So again, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Just for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Guys, until next week, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Thanks for making it this far. And we will see you next week. Later.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.